Good evening, everyone. Feeling a bit cold here tonight. I'm a little bit nervous. Right, shall we give this evening to God? Absolutely. Good to see you here anyways. Well done for making it. It is getting cold and dark, but it's warm in our hearts. Am I right? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for this night. Holy Spirit, we invite you in this place. We pray you would help us, Lord, to experience you, Jesus, tonight. I just read from Isaiah 42 that it speaks of Jesus, that part of Isaiah, the end of the book, is mostly about the prophecies of the coming servant of God, Jesus. You may read it from Isaiah 42 onwards. And there's so much prophetic about Jesus that Isaiah sees. He sees all the crucifixion of Jesus. He sees his glory. He sees his ministry. Isaiah 61 is our church based on. And the first thing he says, the servant of the Lord, God's hand is upon him. And he says in that chapter that a bruised reed he will not crush, a smoldering wick he will not put out, that he is full of love and kindness and understands weakness. He's the helper of those who are weak, who come to him, humble and broken. Shall we come to Jesus tonight, just as we are? And he said he never loses heart or falters until he has accomplished justice on earth. You know, we often lose heart. We lose heart in our Christian walk when things don't go right or there's not success as we expect. We lose heart. But Jesus never lost heart. Many people can give up on church, can give up on God, can give up on the plans that God has, the promises that God has for them. But Jesus never lost heart. And maybe you need encouraging tonight not to lose heart. When I came to this church 5 years ago, I was really, really, really broken in my heart because my picture of Christianity and church had in many ways been demolished. I was a Christian, I was holding on, but I was very broken. And God was healing me here in this church through Route 61. But one of these nights, on the Holy Spirit nights, we were soaking, I was laid down right there somewhere. And I just went into this vision where I met Jesus. And I was totally lied on the dirt, like I felt. And then suddenly Jesus appeared, and he was carrying the cross in front of me. And he was filled with so much boldness, and he was an inch of fear in his eyes. As he was coming across, that I just kind of stumbled up behind him and was following him with all of my lost heart. Thinking, how do you do it, Jesus? Are you not afraid of this world? Are you not afraid of people, of circumstances? Are you not afraid? How are you not afraid, Jesus? And his eyes just weren't afraid. I was so captivated by that vision. And I kept following him. This Jesus was carrying the cross. Steadfast heart. Eyes that were not afraid. I thought, this is wow. And I was just following right after his cross, following him. It really touched me. And I was in that vision for like a couple of hours, actually. Do you want to experience Jesus tonight? You can only have a full heart when you look into the eyes of Jesus that are not afraid, full of zeal for God, the perfect eyes of Jesus, the victory eyes. And then I saw the resurrected Jesus, bouncing with victory, not intimidated, just overbursting with power, healings. Do you want to have a look at Jesus' eyes tonight? You can experience him tonight. So we'll lift our hands to him right now. We thank you, Jesus, for dying for us. We thank you, Jesus, no matter how weak we are, you're with us and for us. And you lift us up, Lord. We want to just encounter you tonight, Jesus. Come close to us. Speak to us, Lord. Bind up our broken hearts. Open our blind eyes. Lift us out from the pits. Set us captives free, Jesus. Set us free. Thank you, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit.
Awesome. Getting a bit warmer in here. Yeah? Right. Please welcome to the stage the one and only, our great friend, Tiwa. Tiwa's going to come and share witness about Jesus, what he's done in his life. Hallelujah. There you go, bro.
Hi, everybody. So my name is Tiwa, and I'm currently a student at the University of Teesside. I'm in my second year, and I'm 19 years old. So about my story, I was born in Nigeria, but I lived in South Africa for a few years, then raised from London from age six. I was raised in a typical Christian home. Okay, not really typical, but still. I grew up knowing about Jesus, but I didn't really feel it. It was a case of my dad would keep telling me, go and read your Bible, go and read your Bible. And it was, you know, being the young rebellious child I was, it's just meh. And it's always, I saw it as a chore rather than a blessing. When I was about 11 years old, I was in secondary school and I came into contact with pornography. It was something that I didn't think it was a big thing, but as the years went on to my later teenage years, it was kind of a bondage on me. And like just a couple of months ago, I felt really, really depressed, and a lot of suicidal thoughts were just going to my mind, and I just felt like crying. I mean, I was at church, but I still felt awful. It wasn't until I was 16 years old when I first had an encounter with Jesus. I was at the point in my life where I just thought, there's got to be more than just living for comfort, and there's got to be more than just existing. I wasn't really living. I was just there. I was alive, but and then people noticed me that I wasn't really my cheery, normal self, and I was just kind of down. So when I first came into contact with Jesus when I was 16, it was a life-changing experience. I got filled with the Holy Spirit, and it was like a warm, fuzzy feeling, knowing that it's like being hugged by the person you want to be hugged by the most. And it just changed my life. Three years later, I'm 19 now, and Jesus has just completely changed my life. I don't want to ever go back to the way I was before, and if not for Jesus, I don't know where I would be right now. Recently, he's been kind of comforting me, he's been showing me more about his love and making me know that I am a child of the King. I shouldn't treat myself as anything less than that. And yeah. Pretty much it.
Right? Do I have to do the rest again? Andy, can you just fire someone? Just, yeah. I think you need to get Andy to act it this time. I did it last time. Awesome. Is it not going to work? Yep. No. Not gonna work, guys. You gotta pray harder. Something's going on. Okay. Help me! That's all I have to do. That's all I have to do. Right. Basically, that video was about the persistent widow, and we are going to preach. I'm not going to preach, but Andy Bray and Stephen are going to preach about prayer. So shall we welcome one of them on stage? It's going! Yay, one more time! I'm not going to leave till it works, though. Right, see that? Here comes Andy. He looks nice and young, doesn't he? Yeah, we just filmed it yesterday.
Welcome to Amazing Grace. Carrying on tonight, preaching about 12 angry men, and we've reached Naphtali, which means my struggle. And as you might have guessed by the video before, we're going to be talking mainly about prayer, but it kind of all of the things that's involved in standing firm and standing strong in God. So let's just pray. Lord, I thank you that you're here tonight, Lord. Come and meet with us. Holy Spirit, we need you. We really need you tonight. Holy Spirit, come and fill this place. Come and meet with us. You're welcome here, Lord. We love you. We need you. We're desperate, Lord, for you to do something in our lives. And we pray, Lord, that you speak to us tonight. We'll hear you, Lord, and pray you'll change us, Lord, and pray you'll lift us up, Lord, and pray you'll set us free, Lord, where we need setting free, Lord, and just totally give ourselves to you, Lord. We fix our eyes on you. Let us hear you, Lord. Capture our hearts and mind right now, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Wow. I always seem to get the privilege of preaching after these particular ones. It's always difficult to follow on from them. When I was... So we're preaching on my struggle tonight, and we've got... 3 points. I'm going to preach on two. First one is going to be declaration. Then I'm going to talk about thanksgiving. Then Andy's going to get up and talk about persistence and keeping going, basically. You know, when you're preparing a sermon, there's two questions, really, I think, that are important. And the first question is, God, what do you want me to say? And that's really all about the teaching, I guess. And tonight we're going to basically bring some tools, some spiritual tools, declaration, thanksgiving, persistence, which help us stand strong. It's the spiritual tools that allow us to stand when we're under attack and when things are coming against us. But the second question is, God, what are you doing? And I was praying the other night and... It's quite late at night, just before I went to bed, and just sort of praying into the meeting, and I was like, you know, what are you doing, God? And I just don't particularly advise that you normally do this, but sometimes it works. I just opened my Bible, and I was going to start flicking through it. I was just looking for inspiration, looking for something, and Bible fell open at 2 Corinthians, and I just felt the Holy Spirit just immediately say, start reading. And it says this, it says, all praise, this is 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3, it says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in troubles so that we can comfort others. Verse 5, it says, for the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with his comfort through Christ. And I believe that tonight the Holy Spirit is in the business of bringing comfort in this place. You know, I don't know how your last few weeks or months have been, but for Sarah and me, we've been a bit battered, but spiritually, I mean. And there's no point like shouting out about it because, do you know what, I talk to all the other leaders and they're like, oh man, I'm getting battered too. You know, so it's like, join the club. There's no point in me like moaning about it or going on about it because it just feels like everyone's in the same boat at the moment. There's a season we're going through as a church where it feels like we're under the attack, under the sort of battering ram of the devil coming against us. But I believe that tonight, the Holy Spirit's here. You know, Jesus said the Holy Spirit's a counselor. And the Holy Spirit's here tonight to bring comfort. See this picture of God reaching down and lifting people up that have been knocked down. And God wants to bring comfort into our life. It says, talks about Jesus, talks about being showered with comfort. And just, you know, for a moment, if you close your eyes, imagine stepping into your shower. Maybe you have a shower cubicle or we have a bath with a shower above it. And imagine, you know, you've had a rough day, a hard day, just want to wash it all away. And you stand there and you turn it on. And instead of water coming out, it's comfort pouring down over you. And it keeps coming over you and flowing over you and flowing over you and flowing over you until you're completely saturated with God's comfort. That's what God's going to do tonight in this place. And if you need that, I want you to Andy's going to bring some stuff at the end, but if you need that, I want you to come forward and receive it. You know, we're going through a season. Many of you have been out maybe every week, but it's okay. There's seasons like that in our life. It's all right to come out again and receive something from God tonight. I really believe if you come forward, God's going to fill you with comfort. If you feel like you're being clobbered, then tonight's a night where God's going to pour his comfort into your life. Sometimes we're looking for God to set us free. Lord, deliver me from all of this that's going on in my life. But sometimes Holy Spirit brings comfort. Sometimes he wants us to stand. I remember a few years ago, I was a leader in another church locally, the Christian Center, and I was going through a period where I was being really, really clobbered, a bit like I feel at the moment, and I'd got to the end of what I felt like I could cope with, basically. Sorry, I've lost the scripture. But anyway, I got to the end of what I felt I could cope with. And just I was in this moment, I was just like, God, I've just had enough. I can't cope with this anymore. And I was in a fairly senior position of leadership, had a lot of influence. And I says, God, I can't cope with this anymore. Just had enough, Lord. I needed to do something. And, you know, I'm big on intercession and prayer, and it felt like a perfectly valid prayer. Many times I'd seen God come through and do amazing stuff. And immediately, God spoke this word into my mind, and I think it was Jeremiah 12, I think it was, but I've lost it, otherwise I'd read it. Jeremiah 12 something, and I was like, I have no idea what that says, God, but I'm going to go and look it up. And when I looked it up, it was Jeremiah complaining to God about how hard things were. And then God said to him, the scripture God had given me, he says, if this is what you're like when you run with men, what will you be like when you run with horses? And you know, like, sometimes the Holy Spirit's hilarious, isn't he? You know, I'm just like, it's just like, sort yourself out. It's like, sort yourself out, Stephen. The Holy Spirit was saying to me, do you know what? This is nowt. What you're going through now is nowt. In the future, it'll be far worse. Wasn't what I wanted to hear, really. But you know what? God's going to bring a revival. What we're going through now is nowt. It's nowt. At the time, I wasn't ready for it. I wasn't ready to hear that. And maybe God plucked me out of that and brought me here and now brought me around full circle. It's like, now maybe you're ready for it this time. But God wants us to learn to overcome and to stand. That's not a discouraging word. It might sound discouraging. It felt discouraging to me at the time, but do you know what? God is on our side. God is our strength. And we are more than conquerors, the Bible says. We're more than conquerors. God doesn't want us to be clobbered down. He wants to fill us with comfort, and he wants us to stand. It says in Revelation, it talks about, you know, in the end times, it says, those who know their God will do great deeds. God wants us to do great deeds in the middle of everything that's going on around us. And he's bringing in tonight comfort into our heart so that we can stand strong. And he's given us the tools to fight with. In 2 Corinthians, I won't turn it up, but in 2 Corinthians, Paul talks about, he says, the weapons of our warfare are mighty for pulling down a stronghold. He says, they're not like human weapons, they're spiritual weapons. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about spiritual weapons so that we can stand. We can't stand unless we use spiritual things. If we fight in a spiritual battle, we have to use spiritual weapons. It's quite, you know, when we become a Christian, we enter into this sort of spiritual thing we didn't know maybe existed before. It wasn't. And suddenly we feel we're under attack. And we don't have a choice, you know. It's like if you were 18-year-old in 1939, then and you were a man, you'd have got conscripted. You know, and you could have been a conscientious objector, but ultimately your life and your future was still in the hands of how that war turned out. There's no choice, really, for that generation. And you know what? There's no choice for us as Christians. We face a battle. So we have to learn to stand. We have to learn to be courageous, to stand and to be overcomers, and to be more than conquerors. And I went to bed after reading that, and I was like, oh, praise the Lord, wrote it down. And the next morning, I got up, and I did the, like I said, it's not something I normally do, but I just, like, in the morning, I was just like, speak to me again. And I opened my Bible, and it opened up at Isaiah 40, and it says, comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Holy Spirit's here to comfort you tonight. If you're willing to receive it, he's going to lift you up. No matter how clobbered or battered you feel tonight, Holy Spirit is here, and he's going to lift you up, and he's going to strengthen you, and you're going to stand, and you're going to go out, and you're going to feel totally different. We don't have to be under everything that the devil throws at us. So first thing I want to talk about, the points are actually really quick tonight. I don't want to like labor them or anything like that. They're really simple. The first thing I want to talk about is I want to talk about declaration. If we want to stand in God, we have to learn to declare the truth. It says in Psalm 91, let's just read a little bit of it. It's an awesome psalm. When you get home, have a good read of it. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust him. For he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and your protection. It says the faithful promises of God are our armor and protection. They protect us, they guard us, and they keep us safe if we learn to declare them and speak them out. You know, every morning, not every morning, but most mornings I get up and I think, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad. Lord, thank you that today is your day. Thank you that today is a good day. Thank you, today I'm going to be blessed by you, God. Thank you that today you've got awesome plans for my life. Thank you that today, Lord, is a good day. Thank you that you're in charge of my life. Do you know what? One of the words for the devil in the Bible is the accuser. And in the original language, it's Greek, it's kategoros. It means, same as the word category in English. You know, the devil puts labels on us, and he tries to assign things to us. And we need to break free from that, to stop believing it and start declaring the truth. If we want to stand in God, we've got to daily declare the truth, because Satan is daily declaring lies over us. You know, think about what you say. Think about the things that come out of your mouth. And is it really true? And are you willing to stand and say, I'm going to declare the promises of God over my life. I'm going to declare the truth over my life. I'm not going to declare all of the rubbish that's going through my heart and mind at the moment. And it's hard sometimes. But we've got to proclaim it, people. And if we do, we'll know freedom, we'll know liberty, we'll know incredible joy. It says in 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 20, this is Jehoshaphat, King Jehoshaphat, speaking to the people, and he says, listen to me, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be able to stand firm. Believe in his prophets, and you will succeed. The Lord says, if you believe in God, you'll be able to stand, and you'll be strong. If you put your faith in him. In Isaiah 9, it says, unless you have faith, I can't make you stand firm. God wants us to stand firm. But then he goes on and he says something interesting. He says, but if you believe in the prophets, he says you'll succeed. He says, you not only stand, but you will overcome. And you'll move forward. And you know, the promises over our life, we need to receive. And that's why it's ridiculous when people say, oh, you've only got the Bible, you don't need prophecy. I'll tell you what, you need it. Because unless you have prophecy, all you do is stand. Unless you've got the word of God coming into your life, what we call like the Rhema word, speaking into you right now, all you'll do is be able to stand. But if you want to move forward, you need to hear the voice of God. And you need to proclaim that over your life. You need to proclaim his promises over you. You need to believe what God has spoken to you. Believe that. I've got faith for this. I think tonight when people come forward, maybe some of the leaders and some of those with prophetic gifts might come and prophesy over people as well when they come forward tonight. That would be awesome. I've just got a bit of faith for that. And, you know, the words that God brings to us, they strengthen us and enable us to stand and to overcome. And we've got to learn to declare it and to speak it out every day. Speak out the truth over your life. And if you do that, then we're going to stand firm. I told you there are short points. The second point, actually, is thanksgiving. Martin spoke about this morning. To be honest, every person's built differently, aren't they? And the declaration bit I find quite reasonably easy most of the time, actually. Maybe it's because I've had loads of practice or something, but the thanksgiving bit, I have to push myself. You know, just the way I'm built. Sometimes when it's human nature, you know, when everything, life's always mixed, isn't it? So we have like incredible stuff happen that is awesome and God's blessing you. But at the same time, there's always this one thing, isn't there? There's always this one thing that's like a thorn in the side. And the human nature is that we focus on that. And that fills our vision. And you know what? Thanksgiving sets us free from that. When we start to thank God for everything that's going on in our life, we start to see things how they really are. Instead of just seeing this, we see reality. It's a reality check for us. We get so focused on that, we become totally miserable. And then when we start thanking, we realize that we're blessed. We realize, and you know, it says in Psalms, "Let's enter his gates with thanksgiving." It's important because when we do that, we enter his gates with thanksgiving. Once we've got the thanksgiving, we get our perspective right. And then we're able to pray into things as they really are, instead of just being absorbed by this or whatever this is, you know. And learning to thank God. Just, you know, you've got to push into it every day. Thank you, God, for doing this. And for me, it just starts, you know, thank you, God. Got an awesome wife. Thank you for my baby. Thank you. And then starts building. And I'm just like, do you know what? I'm so blessed. This is incredible. And it brings joy back into our heart. I think it's Ezra or Nehemiah. It says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. If we don't have joy, we don't have any strength. But when we start thanking, we have strength. I guess to finish off on that point, if we carry on in where Jehoshaphat, after he says, you know, believe in the prophets, basically what's happening is all of the nations around Israel have come to attack Judah. And, you know, Jehoshaphat wakes up one morning, he receives this news that all of the nations around are attacking. It's bad news. And he has possibly the most interesting battle strategy that any person has ever conceived in the history of the world. He appoints a choir to go in front of his army. And this is what they do. It says, after consulting the people, the king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising him for his holy splendor. This is what they sang. Give thanks to the Lord, his faithful love endures forever. Don't know about you. Doesn't sound like an awesome battle strategy. I mean, I know they say that the Scottish armies used to go into battle with the bagpipes in front of them. I don't know whether that's true or it's, you know, like, just a legend. But I think, like, you know, some kilted warrior with a bagpipes and a sword and a shield and et cetera would be still pretty scary. But we're talking about people with harps singing. Doesn't sound like an awesome strategy, but it says this. It says, at the very moment they began to sing and give praise to the Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting among themselves, and they destroyed themselves. When we start to praise and thank God, it releases something in the spiritual realm. You see, it's a spiritual weapon. It's not a sword, it's not a gun, it's not a grenade. It's a powerful spiritual weapon. When we do that, something happens. Amen.
Awesome. Thank you, Lord. It's freezing in here, isn't it? Don't know what's going on with the heating. We did try and fix it, but don't know what's happened. Anyway, so the third thing I want to mention, and the final thing, is what's called like petitioning prayer. This word Naphtali actually means my wrestle or my struggle. And if you're a human being sat in this room tonight, which you all are, and so am I, believe it or not, we all go through massive struggles and battles and a personal wrestle with something, whether it be something physical or something in your mind. It could be a number of things, millions and millions of things, causes grief in this life, hassle, trouble, something that you just, it's your thing. Like Stephen said, there's always that one thing, isn't there? There's always that something, you know, that you're just constantly fighting. Whatever it may be, I don't know what it is for you, but there's something that we battle with. And this word means his name, my wrestle and my struggle. And the way we overcome and fight back is by prayer, which is obviously what we're talking about tonight. And the final thing I want to mention is this persistent, petitioning kind of prayer, which is very specific and specific task-orientated prayer, where you have a specific goal or a specific target or a specific need which you need or want or desire for and praying into that. There's different kinds of prayer where you can fellowship with the Lord and go out and you know what some of what Stephen was saying, which is awesome and massively important that we thank God and praise him. You can just have that fellowshipping prayer where you're just with the Lord, walking with him, praying, thank you, Lord, for my life, and just, you know, sort of having that sort of relational kind of prayer, those sort of flowery prayers that are very nice and wonderful and the husband-wife kind of relationship kind of prayers. But this is very different. This is where you have a need, a want, a desire. And Jesus talks about this in Luke 18 when he's teaching his disciples to pray. This is one of the things he shows them. And it starts off by saying, Jesus told them a parable to show the disciples that they should always pray and never give up. It says that at the very beginning of Luke 18. And then he goes on to tell them this parable of the persistent widow, which is the biblical version of the video you saw. And it's about this widow who in that culture, you know, the widows were the lowest of the low. They had no rights, the lowest of the pecking order in that culture at the time. They had nothing, no money, no rights. They were just the bottom of the pile. In that culture, that's just how it was. And then there was this judge who was the very top of the pecking order. He was the man. He had all the power, all the authority, everything. But this judge was evil. He says he doesn't care about God. He doesn't care about men. He was an evil judge. But this widow had a need, a specific task that she needed. And it was this, very simple, avenge me of my enemies. And she came to him, it says, day and night. She bothered him with this plea. Avenge me of my enemies. She would go to the judge. Avenge me of my enemies. 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 Deliver me from this problem. Deliver me from this person. Avenge me of this enemy. There's an oppressor attacking me. Deliver 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 me. Avenge me of this enemy. Avenge me of this enemy. What's this for you? Maybe you have something that you... that's battering you, that's been pulling you back and pulling you down, and maybe it's flattened you. You felt like you've been in the boxing ring of life and you've just been leveled and the devil's been laughing at you. People have been laughing at you. You had no strength or no energy to get up. But like Stephen said, the Holy Spirit wants to help you and me up today so that we can pray like this. And you know, it's a bit weird, isn't it? You think, am I allowed to pray like that? You know, have I been good enough? Am I like holy enough to be able to pray this way? Well, obviously it's not about that. It's not about, you know, our performance, because our performance utterly fails. Even if we're good, we fail anyway. It needs to be washed and cleansed in the blood of Jesus. Even our best efforts need to be sanctified. But because we're marked with the blood of Jesus, and if you're in this room tonight and you know Jesus and you're Christian and you're born again, then you are marked with the blood of Jesus and you have absolute authority. You have authority and confidence and a boldness to be able to approach the throne of God like this, whenever, however you're feeling, whatever your day's been like, however much you've been struggling, or however much you're distracted, or however bad you feel, or even if you've sinned that day many times and you feel just so bad, you still, because you're in Christ, you can approach God's throne with total confidence and pray for this need whenever you want, whatever it is you need, and being very specific. So I wonder what it is that is for you. What's that thing for you tonight that you need off God? It's so easy to be distracted, you know, because the devil doesn't want you to pray this way, because when you begin to pray this way, you see rapid answers. And it can be easy to get caught up and lost and forget what you're praying about. And maybe you need a husband or a wife or a job or a car or whatever it may be for you. Focus on that and pray into that persistently, repetitively, with all your desire and all your need and all your longing for that, and pray to God until you see it happen, until you get that peace. You know, if you take a magnifying glass and hold it, you know, with a sun behind it on a summer's day and point it at a piece of paper, like a laser, it'll burn through that piece of paper because it's very, very focused, and it becomes like laser and pierces through. And exactly like when we pray this way, you know, I'm sure you've heard of, or maybe some of you have heard the story, or heard of Yongyi Chow. He's the pastor of the largest church in the world, which is in Seoul in South Korea. Absolutely awesome man of God, man of prayer. And one day he was in an elders meeting and he had a call from his wife saying, you know, you need to come home right now. Our son, 5-year-old son they had at the time, was dying. Some evil person had been poisoning the food outside near the school where the children went. And by the time he got home and arrived home, 30 children had already died from this poison in the food. Absolutely horrendous. And Yongyi Chow gets home and he sees his son. When he gets home, his son's there, 5-year-old boy, lying naked on his bed, and he's in a cold sweat. He's trembling all over. And he said, when I saw my son, I felt like dying. I just wanted to die. I said, oh, Lord, please let him live and let me die in his place. And then he says, he realized prayers like this are not going to help my son. And his son began to shake more and eventually just went totally dead. He died in front of him. And he realized that he had to start praying. He had to fight for his son. He said he took every ounce of strength within him to start to pray that way. He was just devastated, obviously, as you would be. Absolutely devastated. Crying, weeping. Oh, Lord, my boy. But then he decided to fight. And he said he took off his jacket. He was covered in tears and sweat, and he began to pray, Lord, bring back my son. Oh, Jesus, bring back my son. Oh, Lord, bring back my son. And then he'd start to get a little bit of faith, and then he'd open his eyes, and he would see his 5-year-old son there dead on his bed. And his fear would come over him, and he'd be like, oh, Jesus, no. And he'd lose the faith. And he said he was praying for an hour, and his prayers were getting absolutely nowhere. It felt like they were just barely touching the roof. And he'd pray again, Jesus, bring him back. Bring back my son. Bring back my son. 2 hours. It felt like his prayers were starting to hit the ceiling. And he kept praying, and he kept praying. Jesus, bring back my son. Lord, bring back my son. I'm not going to let him go. I will not leave this room until my son comes back to life. I will not leave this room until he comes back. Bring him back, Lord. Bring him back. Bring him back. Bring him back. Bring him back. Save him. Save him. Save him. Save my son. Save my son. Save my son. Over and over and over again. For over 3 hours, his son woke up, boom, from the dead. Opened his eyes and starts to breathe. And his son says to him, Dad, look, can you see Jesus? And Yongyi Chow rubs his eyes and he sees. He can see, but he couldn't see Jesus. But his son could, because he'd just been with him. And he said, his son said to Yongyi Chow, he said, I was just with Jesus and I wanted to go to heaven. I wanted him to take me home. But Jesus said to me, not yet. I can't let you. Your dad won't let you go yet. And then he said to him again, Jesus, can we go home now? I want to go home. I want to go to heaven. And Jesus said to him, no, I can't. We can't go because your dad's persisting. He's not going to let you go. And then he came back to life. Boom. The prayers of his father brought his son back. That persistent, repetitive prayer without ceasing, not giving up, being very specific and task-oriented about exactly what he wanted. So I wonder what it is tonight that you want, that you need. Why don't we just close our eyes for a moment and ask the Holy Spirit what it is for you that you need, that you want. And he'll show you and speak to you. Maybe it's a health issue or a marital issue, a financial issue, a mental issue. Think what it is that you want, that you need off the Lord. And you know, tonight he's going to help you to stand up where you've been feeling broken and down maybe. And when we can begin to pray this way, you can begin to pray this way about your need, about your wrestle, your struggle, whatever it may be. It's not easy to pray. Like, when we talk about praying like this, it's actually not easy. You know, it's really hard physically, emotionally, spiritually. It's draining. But it's absolutely vital. You know, who knows what's about to happen with one more prayer. Maybe you've been praying about something for absolutely years and you've just seen nothing and you're just tired and fed up and you've lost all hope. And you used to have a bit of hope and a bit of faith for something, but it's just after so many years of not seeing anything, you've just sort of give up and you just sat down. But only God knows what one more prayer might mean. In Revelation, it talks about the bowls of incense, which are the prayers of the saints, being filled up. Only the Lord sees those bowls, how much they're full. Just at the point where it's about to spill over the edge, boom, and make something happen, might be the point where you're about to give up. We just don't know. But if we keep praying, keep fighting with prayer, keep thankful, keep praising God, keep declaring his truth, declaring his promises, and having this sort of positive faith, prayer attitude is the way to fight spiritually. So if that's you, you know, if you've felt like that recently, if you've been feeling discouraged or distracted and you've lost hope and you've give up really because you've prayed about this thing many times before but you've never seen it happen, but you want to choose tonight to change your mind again. And to just sort of say to God, look, God, I want to stand up now. I want to start by standing up. If that's you, why don't you just stand to your feet where you are? Just as a sign to God. And by doing this, you're just saying to God, yeah, that's me. I've been really discouraged. I've lost hope. But look, I've been battered and down. I've been overcome by the enemy. People and the devil and the world and lies and all these other things. I've just been rolling over me and I've just let them. Because it's so easy to just be like that. I've done it so many times. But today, tonight, I just choose to stand. And I believe the Holy Spirit wants to come and strengthen each and every person now that's responded to God, that wants to be strengthened. And if you're stood up and you want some prayer, can I ask you to come forward, just like Stephen was saying at the beginning, and we just want to pray for everybody to be filled with the Holy Spirit afresh, specifically, obviously, to be strengthened in your faith, to be strengthened and encouraged to pray, to be strengthened and to have hope come back to you where it's been lost, where the devil's robbed hope, where he's robbed joy, where we've been defeated. I pray that the Holy Spirit would come and strengthen everybody now. And if we'll just stick a bit of music on and we'll just pray. I'd just like to pray over everybody. And then we can begin to go and minister to people one-on-one. Or you can do that now if you want. But Lord, yeah, come Holy Spirit. I thank you, Father, for each and every person here. Lord, I thank you specifically for these people that have come and responded to you, Lord. And I just pray right now, Holy Spirit, that you would come and fall upon each and every single person here. That you would touch them, Lord. That you would strengthen and encourage every single person, Father. Those that have stood and those that have come to the front. Strengthen them, Father, in Jesus' name. And why don't you begin to cry out to the Lord yourself now and just pray to him out loud. And tell him what you want. And right now it's strength and encouragement and hope. And just begin to pray out loud, quietly if you want. Lord, give me strength. Lord, give me strength. Holy Spirit, give me strength. Holy Spirit, come and fill me. Give me strength. Holy Spirit, come and encourage my heart. Lord Jesus, come and bless me. Lord Jesus, come and encourage my heart. Father, I choose to stand now. I choose to stand in your presence, Lord. I choose to be lifted up by you. I choose to resist the devil. And just begin to open your mouth to the Lord and just pray yourself as well. Say what you want from the Lord. I pray that you'd strengthen us all, Father, in the name of Jesus. With your Holy Spirit, give us your mighty power. Lord, we've been knocked down, we've been battered, but right now we just choose to stand up. Get back in that ring, so to speak. Get refreshed. And we choose this time to fight with you, Jesus, with you on our side, with you as our coach, with you as our warrior. Thank you, Father. I just have this picture of the Lord putting, you know, a new spine in every one of us. Like the spine is what holds a person together, isn't it, you know, physically. But this is like a spiritual spine. Maybe you feel like you've had, you know, that removed. You've had no strength and no power. You've had your spiritual spine removed, sort of thing. But I feel like Holy Spirit tonight is putting them back in each and every person now. And whether you feel anything tonight or not, it doesn't matter. It's by faith, you know, we receive this. And I believe that from tonight, over the next few days and maybe even weeks, you're going to feel different. Something's happened tonight. I really believe that. For those of you that have come and responded to the Lord, you walk out with a new spine in Jesus, a new strength, a new holding together, and it's all him. He's going to help you and me to be thankful in all situations, to praise him continually, and to come to him with confidence and boldness for the task that we need, because we know we're washed in the blood of Jesus and we can come to him like that. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We'll just come and pray for everyone one-on-one. We'll stick some music on. And if you need to get tea and coffee, that's fine. But for those of you who need some more prayer, please hang around here at the front until you've received some.